Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over a story I read in the news this morning on the CNBC homepage that basically said there's this group of millionaires, and I'm referring to them as your typical CNN viewer, who are actually mad. They're angry with Klaus and the World Economic Forum. They're pissed off. They're protesting the meeting in Davos right now. And I saw this headline and I said, well, wow, this is fantastic. Maybe these people are coming to their senses and we can find some common ground with the, whatever you want to call them, liberals or progressives or whatever, that us libertarians can actually find common ground that we can agree on and maybe make a difference here. Maybe we can join together against the global elite. And, we may have many differences when it comes to other ideas, but if we can just come together on this one idea that there should be more decentralization in the global economy, not more centralization, that, again, that's a good thing. Both parties would agree, and we can push back. But unfortunately, when I started reading the article, I saw that they're not mad at the global elite, Klaus and the Davos types, because of the Great Reset agenda, let's say, because you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. In fact, it's the complete opposite. They are mad and they're protesting the global elite in Davos right now because effectively or essentially in their mind, the Great Reset agenda isn't happening fast enough. So they're super mad at Klaus and the World Economic Forum that they're not making the Great Reset happen quickly enough for them. They want to own nothing and be happy way before 2030. So let's get into this article, and I think you'll find it fascinating. They're specifically focusing on taxes. They want supposedly a group of millionaires that are demanding that the global elite tax them more because this is going to solve global wealth inequality or income inequality. And in their mind, the real problem is that the average rubes, the average Joe and Jane, doesn't trust the global elite. That's the real problem. And the only way that we're going to get the dumb rubes and the libertarians like the rebel capitalists to trust the global elite like Klaus is if we come up with this giant tax to make sure that the rich are a lot poorer than they are today. That will solve all of our problems. We just need to have the producers own less stuff and we need to be equally poor. And then the trust will come back in the global elite where it should be. And then they can lead us into a socialist utopia. That's basically what they're saying. So let's get into this article, if I could find it. There it is. And I would strongly encourage following CNBC's homepage, where they're just really following everything that's happening in Davos this year, 2022. First thing I'd like to point out is Davos is sponsored by Morgan Stanley. Why I find this fascinating is, could you think of another brand that has a worse reputation? I mean, let's just throw Alex Jones in there, right? And I'm not saying that Alex Jones is a bad guy. I think he's hilarious. But this is not to say anything bad or good about Alex Jones, but he is an example of a brand that most other brands would not want to associate with. And again, I'm not saying those other brands are correct. So Alex, if you're listening to this, this is nothing personal. I'm just using you as an example of a brand that for right or wrong is kind of Coca-Cola isn't advertising on the Alex Jones show. Let me just put it to you that way. Morgan Stanley would not advertise with Alex Jones, right? For heaven's sakes, a lot of these Morgan Stanley types, these types of corporations that are woke, I mean, they wouldn't even advertise with Tim Pool. they wouldn't advertise with Ben Shapiro. So I don't want to isolate Alex. So, but you guys get my point, right? So what's fascinating to me is they won't go on the Ben Shapiro show, but they'll gladly sponsor the World Economic Forum. I mean, is that just a complete disconnect from your customers? I mean, how obtuse could you be? How, what is it, tone deaf, I guess might be the correct phrase, can you possibly be to associate with a brand that quite frankly, everyone, I would say 99% of the people on the planet Earth despise. And I don't think that's a stretch. Why is it that YouTube stopped the downvotes on the YouTube channels? It was because when Klaus would post a video, it would get like 40,000 downvotes and like 100 upvotes. Same thing with CNN. Same thing with MSNBC. The majority of the people hate these groups. But yet Morgan Stanley has no problem whatsoever associating their brand with Klaus Schwab. So again, either they're completely tone deaf as to what their the views of their customers, or they just don't care. And they just want to gain brownie points, let's say. And I think the latter is probably my base case, but that's not what this video is about. I just found that really interesting that you could have a brand that's as toxic as the World Economic Forum in Davos, but yet the corporate sponsors are still lined up to just throw money at them. So the title of the article is Tax Us Now. Millionaires call on global elite to tax them more. Well, of course, the first thing to ask is why aren't they just going ahead and offering to pay more taxes? I think that's an honest question. If they want to be taxed more, well, there's nothing stopping them from writing the IRS a check for their entire net worth. Nothing stopping them at all. The IRS won't send the money back. You can gladly donate to the IRS. And so I guess the two head people here are actor Mark Ruffalo. I think that's the guy that played the Incredible Hulk on the most recent, whatever those movies are, and heiress Abigail Disney. So I want to point out here, you're not going to see an entrepreneur that risked everything. Someone that has to manage people. Someone that has to work their ass off 80 hours a week. Someone that has to maybe put payroll on credit cards, or they had to do that at the beginning. You know, these people were not born with a silver spoon in their mouth. These people had to really dig themselves out of a rut. Most likely, they didn't have a very good education. They were probably horrible in school. I would be a great example of that. And against all odds, they were able to build a company and become a millionaire. How do they do this? Most of them. Because they offer or create a good or service that society benefits or values, I should say, more than the money in their back pocket. So it's a voluntary exchange that benefits both parties. And I get it. There's exceptions to this. But usually those exceptions come as a result of government favors, not as from a result of free market capitalism. So what ends up happening is someone's bank account or their net worth, when we're looking at these entrepreneurs, which are most of the millionaires, you know, once you get into the billionaires and whatnot, it's a little bit different here. But when you're talking about those people that are worth $5 million, $10 million, usually it's the real job creators within our society. So their net worth is basically a reflection of the value they have created for society. You see, but Mark Ruffalo, what value has he created for society? How many goods and services has Mark Ruffalo created? How many jobs has he created? How much risk has he taken with his own personal net worth to build something up from scratch where he could lose his not only his entire net worth, but his ability to provide for his family moving forward? How many times has Mark, a famous actor, done that? I can tell you how many times. Zero times. You say, oh my gosh, he took such a huge risk by going to Hollywood when he was 20 years old. And he had to wait tables and boo-hoo-hoo. Give me a break. That's child's play. Those of you who are entrepreneurs that have owned your own small business, you realize that That's that you do that every morning before 6 a.m. And when I say do that, I mean that you tackle those types of problems. And then next, we have Abigail Disney. Need I say more? I mean, come on. What are the chances this gal's ever worked a day in her life? Ever. So, I mean, just get out of here. Why are we listening to these people? Why are we listening to people that inherited all their money? And you say, oh, well, George, all, you know, a lot of people have a view that if you're a millionaire or a billionaire, then you had to be born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I've read studies of millionaires, and the majority of them are self-made. The majority, the vast majority, especially when you get to the people that are worth less than, let's say, $20 million. You know, the majority of those entrepreneurs that have a net worth of, let's say, between $2 and $20 million, you know, I don't know if it's 80, 90%, but they started with absolutely nothing. It's the people that have the high-paying jobs at Goldman Sachs. It's the banksters. It's the finance people. These are the people that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, or the people like Abigail Disney, for heaven's sakes. So going straight back to 1984, the group is known as the Patriotic Millionaires. Geez. Published an open letter on Monday, reiterating calls for the attendees of the World Economic Forum to acknowledge the danger of unchecked wealth inequality around the world and publicly support efforts to tax the rich. Again, this is just straight Great Reset agenda. You'll own nothing. You'll be happy. Let's just tax all the producers. And then let's just do what they're doing in Australia, where we tax all the producers. The government takes a 40% equity position in your house. Therefore, when you can't make the mortgage payments, your house and pretty much everything you own goes straight to the government. I mean, this is, I'm not saying this is their number one strategy, but they're doing a lot of these things to make this goal a reality by 2030, that's for sure. And again, I want to be clear, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory to say that these people are just trying to take advantage of every crisis. That is obvious. I think even they would admit that. I mean, what's the guy's name? Rahm Emanuel or whatever. I mean, he came openly out and said that, yeah, you got to take advantage of a crisis situation. I mean, there's been so many people, the politicians, the central planners, that openly say that this is a great strategy. So why would we assume that these people that are meeting in Davos wouldn't employ that same type of policy that has worked well for others in the past? So they go on to say, they explained in the letter that the inequality baked into the international tax system had created distrust between the people of the world and its rich elites. Really? Really? So I don't know how many people we have on the live stream right now, but do you not trust Klaus because of the international tax system? Or do you not trust Klaus because he says that you'll own nothing and you'll be happy and you're not going to eat any more meat, that you're just going to go ahead and eat bugs? For me, it would be the latter. In fact, I've never heard of anyone even in my comments or on my live streams say that they distrust the global elite because of the international tax system. I mean, talk about being completely detached from reality. So they go on to say that to restore trust, the group argued that it would take a complete overhaul of the system that up until now has been deliberately designed to make the rich richer. So here I want to point out that I agree. Sure, the system's designed to make the rich richer, but we shouldn't be focusing on the rich. What difference does it make how rich the rich are? Our real objective should be, how do we make the poor and middle class richer? What difference does it make what the delta is? The difference is what is happening to the standard of living for those at the bottom. And the only way to create a better world for those at the bottom is through free market capitalism. And ironically enough, allowing the producers to produce more, not less. So if we give the entrepreneurs the tools to create more jobs, to create more goods and services, we're going to increase GDP as long as we have the energy, right? And what do the global elite want to do? And what do the Mark Garofalo or whatever the hell the guy's name is? What does he want to do? Well, he wants to reduce energy use. So if we reduce energy use, what happens to the global economy? It goes down because, as you guys know, energy is the economy. So if we look at what they are trying to do here, they're saying, let's use less energy. Let's tax the producers, but yet somehow we want the poor and middle class to become richer, as if the politicians can create that by just basically the Cantillon effect. I mean, let's be honest, even if you were able to tax 100% of what the rich make, quote unquote, the rich, right? How many cents on the dollar is actually going to get to the poor and middle class? What, 5 cents, if that? And even if it does get to the poor and middle class, does that make them richer? And if your answer is yes, I would argue, are those people richer today than they were in 2019? Can they buy more goods and services? No, because sure, their income has gone up, but the rate of inflation has gone up even faster. Therefore, their purchasing power is lower today than it was in 2019. They are worse off, not better off, even though they might have had access to more currency units through the form of stimulus. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. The way that you solve inequality, or the way that you solve consumer price inflation, is not by giving people more money and making sure the producers are creating less stuff. It's the complete opposite of that. You incentivize the creators, the producers, to create more stuff, and then you reduce the amount of currency units that are actually circulating in the global economy. We let the free market handle that, because then the expansion of the money supply would be directly correlated to the expansion of goods and services. But see, what they're arguing for is the complete opposite, which is going to do what? It's just going to make the rich poorer, but it's going to make the poor and middle class poorer. And this is what, for some reason, they can't seem to get through their head. And I would argue, and I don't know how many of you know any actors, but I was around that business for many years, for well over a decade in Los Angeles. And I know a lot, or I used to know a lot of agents, a lot of casting directors, a lot of actors. I've dated a few actresses, and I can tell you that they are the craziest group of people I have ever met in my life. And there's a direct correlation to how good of an actor they are and how completely insane they are. So whenever you see someone on TV or in a movie and you say to yourself, oh my gosh, that person is a fantastic actor. My goodness, they are brilliant. They just won an Oscar. I guarantee you that person is off their rocker. I guarantee if you met them in real life and spent the day with them, you would think to yourself, they belong in a mental institution. And so these are the people that are calling for this insanity. These are the people that, ironically enough, the mainstream media and most of the average Joe and Janes that are out there, they look to them for advice. Oh, well, what's happening with inflation? Well, let's hear what Will Smith has to say. What? Could you think of a worse person to get their view on what's happening with the global economy or what's happening with something important than a famous actor like, you know, Will Smith or I don't know what gal, you know, Amber Heard. I mean, my goodness gracious. You want an example of that? I mean, and throw Depp in there as well. I mean, they're all completely insane. But yet for some reason, you know, we want to find out what they have to think about global wealth inequality. I mean, it's just complete madness. So is it any surprise to hear that these people are arguing for the global elite having more power, that that's the solution, that we need to have the Great Reset agenda thrust on us even faster than they would like? And the only way we can achieve that objective, this socialist utopia, is not only by giving them all the power and control, but it's by taxing the rich so all of the rubes in the real economy trust them implicitly. You just can't make this stuff up. And if I wouldn't have seen this article, I mean, honestly, it wouldn't even have dawned on me that there were people that held this view. I understand that there are people that want to tax more. I get it. But the people that are basically arguing that the global elite aren't trusted enough. I mean, I knew that there were people that were on the side of the World Economic Forum, but not the people that were mad at the Economic Forum because they weren't going far enough. I mean, that's what completely blows my mind. So here, there's a gal that's in charge of this, and I don't know what her name is. It doesn't really matter. But she's saying, to put it simply, restoring trust in the Davos types and in Klaus Schwab requires taxing the rich. And this is their panacea. If the dumb rubes would just trust the Klaus types, then all our problems would be solved. They said that the World Economic Forum Davos Summit didn't deserve the world's trust right now, given the lack of tangible value that had come from the discussions at previous events. And what do they mean by tangible value? They mean pretty much everything Klaus talks about in the Great Reset agenda. That's why I'm saying that they're pissed at what's going on at the World Economic Forum, because the Great Reset agenda just isn't happening fast enough. Some of the millionaires even staged a pro-taxation protest at Davos over the weekend. So here's this gal, I guess she's the founder of this group of Rhodes Scholars, said that, the scandalous as it is that governments seem to be utterly inactive on dealing with the cost of living. You see, look, and you know, sometimes I just get tired of people that I don't even know how to get, they're so ignorant that I don't even know how to communicate. Like if I was having dinner with Julia, I don't even know where I'd begin. Like, where do you even start with someone that thinks that the rising cost of living, meaning consumer price inflation, can be solved just by giving people more money, when we know that consumer price inflation is a result of people having too much money relative to the amount of goods and services that are available? So she goes on to say, it is equally scandalous that they allow extreme wealth to sit in the hands of so few people. Again, who cares? You'll notice that this is a common theme with all of them. They never, ever, ever talk about ways that we could, you know, what we can do to create more jobs, what we can do to create more goods and services, which will really, that's what brings up the standard of living. They never talk about that. They totally ignore it, as if goods and services just appear magically by Santa Claus just brings them around every single night. The goods and services fairy just visits Home Depot and Walmart, just waves their magic wand. But they get so they completely ignore that, but they just get so fixated on the extreme wealth that sits in the hands of a few people. Again, as though wealth is somehow currency, as though wealth is green pieces of paper. It's not. Wealth is not stocks. Wealth is not gold. Wealth is not Bitcoin. Wealth is goods and services, period, end of story. And the more a society can produce, the wealthier they are. The currency is just a means to transact. A currency is just a means to trade value for value, meaning the goods and services that you produce for the goods and services that other people have to produce, just so you don't have to barter. That's all currency is good for. It's not wealth, but Julia just can't seem to get that in her head. And then they just get, they don't care about the poor. They only care about making the rich less rich. It's just totally bizarre. She goes on to say the global crises are not accidental. They're a result of bad economic design. And here we go. Central Planning 101. Their worldview is that these group of people at the top need to just design the economy. Like they just need to draw it out on a whiteboard and then just force people to execute whatever strategy is drawn up on the whiteboard. Like people are just inanimate blocks of wood, like on a chessboard, that we can just move them around and have them do whatever we want them to do. And if they don't do that, well, they're just getting in the way of our grand scheme or of our socialist utopia. And that we need to just either eradicate them, which is what we've seen with communism in the past, or we need to just somehow change their hardwiring so they don't continue to pursue their own self-interest and the interests of their family. But again, this just, if you just read between the lines with what these people say, it is so obvious what their worldview is. It's so obvious what their objectives are, and it's so obvious what their strategies are. And I would argue if you study history, it is equally as obvious as to how devastating these policies are, not just for the rich, but probably more so for the global poor and middle class. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for liberty, freedom, and free market capitalism. That's how we improve the standard of living for the average Joe and average Jane. It is not through central planning. It's not through big government. The politicians cannot do this for you. The only people that can are the people that are on this live stream right now. The entrepreneurs, the producers, the blue-collar people, the hardworking Americans that get out there and bust ass 40, 50, 60, 80 hours a week. Those are the people that can create wealth. It's not the central planners. And in order to give them a platform to where they can do what they do best, we have to continue to promote and fight for free market capitalism.